Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Max, I have terrible news. I didn't wear a Hawaiian on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
I forgot about it. I'm never here on Wednesday. I would have done it.
So we've got to go make a huge store delivery for HTO right after I get off the air. And I did not think about it. Wore a shirt for that. Oh, my God. It's just going to be a terrible day. You know, it's going to be a terrible day. Well, happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday for all those who celebrate. Boy, I'm glad Tommy's not here to rub that in. I'll tell you that. It's Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland on Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday as we get ready for an NBA draft tonight. Anybody realize the NBA draft is tonight?
Learned last night.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, what a weird year, right? Like, and the NBA draft has lost its luster a little bit because we don't know all the players like we used to. But it's Mavs, Spurs with the top two picks. Cooper Flagg's going to be a Maverick. And then it's all bets are off, I think. I think everybody's just sort of guessing at, you know, what might happen in that second spot. So that's tonight. We'll kind of look at that a little bit. Not a whole lot, because I don't think either one of us are locked into that too much. But we'll take a browse of it. Maybe we'll talk to Shreyas Lada about it, who's a huge basketball guy. And who is our KU insider. We'll kind of get his take on it a little bit, perhaps later. But that's coming for you tonight. We've also got the Royals, who fell pretty flat in the opener last night. Taj Bradley was really good against them. We'll get into that game as well. We'll start to talk a little bit. I want to kind of take a look here over the next few days at what we think about the teams around the Chiefs. I think we've established through this offseason that we all feel like the Chiefs got at least a little bit better or the same. So what did everybody else do around them of the major contenders? So I want to look at that a little bit as well. We've got all of it coming for you. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, locations east, west, historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Getting back to the early morning grind. It's been 5 days since I was on the radio last, so it doesn't get easier, but I'm here.
Yeah, it's not earlier than last week.
Yeah,
I'll say that out of the
Wichita. I think it was a longer drive to get to Crestview than it was here. So,
yeah. Well, here we are. We're here with you in the morning. The Royals lose the opener 5-1 to the Rays. We'll spend time with that today. I mentioned Shreyas Lada. KU makes a big addition yesterday. They get a reclassed player. I don't know how much you're locked into the KU roster movements, but it's, you know, it's been a minute. We've been wondering how long it was going to take, what were they going to do, what's been happening, why is this taking so long? But it's Cole Rosario who is reclassifying. He was, I believe he was a top 30 player next year. He becomes a top 75 player this year. And even though it might not seem like he fits a position of need at shooting guard, Shreyas, our KU insider that's joining us later, has been telling us they've been looking for a shooting guard for a while. And so clearly this was a desire. It adds to an already really young roster for KU, but they go and they get a piece.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, I think it is the fact that there hasn't been anything that's happened. And, you know, we've talked a lot about that they've kind of just bottomed out. They've missed the last four guys that they've reported to be linked up to. And so I think the fact that they just land a guy, a four-star prospect at that, you know, this is a move that whenever I saw it on the surface, it feels like the old Bill Self recruiting days whenever he would do this. This was before the transfer portal. This was the kind of guy that Bill Self would go get. And so I'm really excited for this next season just for the fact of, like, everything that's happened the past couple of years are just out the window. Basically all of those guys are gone except for, you know, Florida Badunga and, you know, a couple of those guys. But it's going to be new look. It's going to be a lot new personnel. And I think that Cole Rosario is going to fit really well into what they're doing, even if he's a guy that just comes off the bench and is a 3-and-D guy, because he's got length, he can shoot it. And you know, from what I've seen from him on Twitter, you know, he's a 3-and-D guy. You know, he seems a lot like a Svi Mykhailiuk type of player, maybe taller than Svi. But I think he's going to fit in well.
Yeah, it is going to be – It's fine. The fit is he's going to be a freshman. He's going to be a young freshman.
He'll play.
And they're already leaning on essentially all young players next year. I don't know how that's going to work. Has Bill Self ever had a team like that? Where
probably,
there's just not
probably
really
the Wiggins
any?
Year. Yeah. Probably
yeah,
the
but
Wiggins,
that was
yeah.
just – it was – the young guys were the stars, but there were still lots of old guys – on that team.
Not a ton of them. I mean, that was that class was Frank Mason, Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid. Like, those were all freshmen.
And they were all playing as freshmen?
Mm-hmm. Frank wasn't playing as much, but, I mean, Wiggins, Oubre, and Embiid were all big parts.
It's going to be...
Connor Framkamp, sorry for forgetting Connor on that list.
He was in that class?
I think so.
That was right before... I think it was right before I got here. Man, I don't know what to make of it. It obviously has not worked with the older guys, so I'm not like opposed to it.
Exactly.
It's just new. And does it make much of a difference if they're all new transfers or if they're all, you know, young new guys? Probably not that much of a difference. I mean, it makes some difference, but some of those transfer guys weren't fits either. And so, you know, we'll see. Darren Peterson's supposed to be that dude. And you know, we love Flory Badunga, but we love the upside of Flory Badunga as much as, like, we realize there were a lot of inconsistencies in his game. It'll be an interesting year. I'm excited for it. I'm not, like, you know, it's not like none of this is doom and gloom for them. Like, it's going to be interesting. And they still need another couple of players pretty badly, I think. At least a backup big, if not, you know, probably two of those guys. And they'll find them. But maybe that's where some experience comes. Maybe you can go find just the absolute best, you know, attitude, hardworking, whatever, tone setters who probably won't even play that much. Yeah. But Flory Badunga is going to need somebody to come in. Like, they're going to need a big that can give them minutes. Because Badunga is going to find himself in foul trouble at minimum.
That's the thing, is that, you know, whatever they're going to get at this point, like, I think that they've got a starting five set. I'm sure if they went out and got a nice transfer, he could slide himself in there. But at this point, I think you have a starting five that you can roll out and be successful in the Big 12 with what you have. So I think that everybody that you're going to go get at this point, I don't see them making a huge splash at what's left in the transfer portal or, you know, the high school scene. Everybody's recruited at this point except for the guys that are reclassifying down, I guess. But I think that they've got a starting five set. I think that they will go out and get some transfers to fill out the roster, give a little bit more depth. So, you know, Corbin Allen that came from Kansas City is not going to be having to play big minutes in his true freshman year at KU. So I expect something like that. But again, it's not going to be a mid-major guy that wants to make the jump up, something like that. I don't think they can go out and make a huge splash at this point. And I'm okay with that. I think that the philosophy that's going on this season is the fact of them realizing, like, revenue sharing's here for one. We're putting a large investment into Darren Peterson and Florey Badunga, and we'd rather invest in that rather than go get XYZ out of the transfer portal. And I like that recipe.
Yeah, we let's talk about that because we can talk about it on the other side. I don't know. I think it's all more coincidental. Maybe it's not. Like the design of this and all the changes that are coming. So we can get into that. We got lots coming up. We'll give away some Crestview Golf. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win that throughout the show. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up early in the morning on a midweek edition of Sports Daily. We'll come back. Don't go away.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
A Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, and I
sad that I'm the only one with an Hawaiian shirt.
What's that, Max?
Sad that I'm the only one with a Hawaiian shirt.
You have a Hawaiian, not even just a tie-dye?
No, it's a Kamakona's shrimp truck.
It's your shrimp truck shirt? Max, I need a couple of things, and I even have a reminder in my phone. I need you, A, to text me in the mornings on Wednesdays and remind me, but B, make me tell my wife no work on Wednesdays. That whole that defeats the whole purpose of a Hawaiian shirt lounge at back Wednesday. She's got me running around all over town as soon as we get off the air. Maybe I should just make the HTO delivery in a Hawaiian. Maybe I should just do that.
It's not illegal.
I don't know what's holding you back from that.
Yeah. You're
supposed to drink tea, be happy.
That's right. That's right. What a disappointing start there. Maybe I'll just put one on anyway during the next break. Maybe I'll just go do whatever. We'll get it celebrated on.
Female fans demand you change on YouTube Live.
Yeah. You can watch us, by the way, on YouTube, Facebook, X, 12 News Connected. If you want to see, if you're listening to us on the radio, just pretend I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt for this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And just celebrate that way. Anyway, we'll give away some Crestview Golf a little bit later in the show. We'll give away some HTO later in the show. That's all coming for you. We'll have Sharia Slotta in. Let's talk about KU basketball for a second, though, TJ. You brought up an interesting theory on KU. Do they just want to invest more in the young players and less in the portal? I don't think that I buy that. But I want to hear your theory on it. Why do you think they would change that philosophy?
I think that they've learned over the last couple of years of, you know, since the transfer portal's become so relevant, KU's been in the mix for every top 10 prospect that's been in the transfer portal, basically. And they've landed like, you know, Hunter Dickinson, Nick Timberlake, Kevin McCullough. You think about all these guys that they got. And, you know, it hasn't been the success that KU's used to. I think that there's a part of it. They really haven't gotten a blue chip freshman since, I mean, Florey was a five star. I'm not going to get that wrong. But, you know, outside of him, you think back to the past couple of years, they've kind of just abandoned the high school recruiting game a little bit, like everybody has around the country. And I feel like with the chance to get Darren Peterson, I think they've recruited every high school five star in the country because they can, because they're KU. The fact that they realized they had a chance to get Darren Peterson and the chance of revenue sharing happening, which it now is, I think that they kind of made that bed when they got Darren to commit, whenever that was, a year ago or whatever. So, you know, whenever you get a player like that, you know, there's a price tag for it. I don't know what that price tag is, but they knew that that was going to happen. And I think that they just have known, once Hunter Dickinson gets out of here, once KJ graduates, once DeJuan graduates, we're going to have a price tag. All that's going to be cleared off the books. We've got Darren Peterson coming, so we're going to have to invest in him now. And I think that they've known that for the last year. You know, they talked about Darian Williams, the Texas Tech transfer. They really wanted him. That would have been a pretty penny too. And at the end of the day, like they stopped going up. There's a reason he went to NC State, is what it sounds like. So I think the fact of a multiple things, you've got Darren Peterson on the books, you now got Florey Badunga on the books, and now the fact that it's revenue sharing, you've got KU football on those books as well. You've got a new stadium on the books that's coming out of the same athletics department fund. So they've had to not be thin because they're still blowing a lot of money here, but there's a cap, and I think they've gotten close to it.
So I think that could be possible. I think that could be possible big picture, but I don't think that's the reason, because they were in on Darian Williams. Everybody on the planet knows they wanted Darian Williams. They just didn't get him. So, you know, there could be a reallocation because of a guy like Peterson, but, you know, they had to retain Florey Badunga. That wasn't an inexpensive endeavor. The whole reason that whole thing happened, I think it's just a different way. They, I don't know if they had to spend it that way. I suppose they didn't have to spend it that way, but they chose to spend it that way. They're spending. I don't know if it's some grand indictment on how they're going to do things in the future. I don't think it is. I just don't think they had any players left to bring back. I mean, they lost everybody. Mm-hmm. They lost everybody, basically. They lost Dickinson, Mayo, AJ, DeJuan. Store and Griffin left, Coit left, and then you had a bunch of other dudes. So it wasn't like they had guys to retain. It wasn't like anything else. They chose, and they chose before they knew they weren't going to get anybody, by the way, that they were getting Darren Peterson. They knew that. So he was already accounted for. The thing that changed was Florey, and however much that took to get to, you know, to get to bring him back. And then it was, what else do you do with the remainder? Well, they wanted Darren. They went hard after Darian Williams. They didn't get Darian Williams. I don't think that's an indictment on Bill Self. I think that's Will Wade probably had a bag and he wanted to use it. And Darian Williams is a guy he wanted to use it on. So be it. I just think I wouldn't be surprised at all. I guess what I'm saying is next year when Darren Peterson goes to the draft and you know, Badunga may go to whatever happens, that they don't go back closer to what we saw for the last few years, just with different players. Those players, like that philosophy had them as the preseason number one 2 years.
I'm not.
It's not. It just they weren't a good fit together.
Yeah. It's just kind of a storm of events that happened that turned out that they weren't good. I don't think that they are. I guess I'll be more clear here. I don't think that they're attacking this offseason with the thought of we don't want to do that again. I think that they're attacking it at the fact of, hey, we're going to go get the number one player in the country and then we'll figure it out after that. And this is them figuring it out. They just can't afford to do what they've done in years past because they've got Darren Peterson and that's what they wanted to invest in. And I like that idea.
Yeah, I like it for a year. I like it for a year. You got to have a player. He's got to be. Bill Self's called him the best player they've ever recruited, the best player they've ever brought in. He wouldn't just throw that around. That doesn't make any sense for him to unless he really believed it. And we see that type of player. We happened to see it last year with Cooper Flagg. We could see it 2 years in a row. He seems like he's that kind of prospect, or at least Kansas thinks he is. So we'll get Shreyas Lada's thoughts on all of this a little later in the show as we make our way through it. Royals last night, TJ and Rays, let's just make a hard transition here. That was a dud in the opener. Taj Bradley is a guy who has pretty good stuff, but he lasted an inning and a third in his start prior, and he had an ERA just under 5 going into this game. He's perfect for a while. And he holds the Royals to just 2 hits and 6 2/3. That's a pretty tough offensive start to that series. Chris Bubich wasn't good. He wasn't bad. But he's not what he was to start the year, which again, we've talked about it a million times. That's an unfair expectation. But he was good enough for that to be a competitive game, and it never really felt competitive. They can't walk into games against guys who have 5 ERAs and get shut down like that. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know what has happened to this team offensively at home, but whatever it is, change it. That's a disappointing start to that series.
It doesn't make any sense why they're so bad at home. Last year, they were like the best team in baseball in Kauffman Stadium. Like they were unreal at home, and now they're basically the complete opposite. I think I saw a stat, actually. They're a perfect 500 across home and road and overall record at this point. They're 19-19 at home, 19-19 on the road. But I agree. You know, the fact that they're playing a guy that, you know, the Rays are a good team. They've been playing pretty well. But, you know,
they've been playing very well.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, if the Royals want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to beat good teams. And we really haven't seen them do that. Like, they beat the Rangers. Are the Rangers a good team?
Yeah, I mean, they're as good as the Royals are. I don't know that. To me, it's less because we've seen him. We saw him lose a series against the White Sox. We saw him get swept by the A's. I don't even think it matters so much anymore who they're playing, because I think if they do what they do, they are good enough to beat anybody. I predicted yesterday they would have a nice week. They'd have a big week. This would kind of be the anti-home series for the year. It's certainly not happening through the first game. I just don't know why a guy who has struggled all year comes in and is perfect against them for 5 1/3. I saw there was a graphic or something, and I haven't like double checked this, but something to the effect of Royals are the only team in baseball, right, without an extra base hit with the bases loaded. Yep. And everybody else has several. Multiple, at yeah. least. It's just not making sense. Like the things that are happening they're not making sense. Like, why is this happening? It's not like the roster isn't a roster that would make you think this. Like, it just is very strange. I can't figure it.
It's a better roster than the team that went to the ALDS last year. Like,
I agree.
Bar none, it's better. I don't know. That's what I was saying. Last night, I was thinking about coming on the radio today, and I was like, it's Groundhog Day. You know, I'm going to go sit on the radio with Jacob, and we're going to talk about how this Royals offense has struggled, and we just don't know why it's happening and what needs to change, and we don't know what's going to change, and we don't know if this team is good enough to make playoffs if they keep playing like this. And we've had the same conversation 100 times because nothing's changed, and I don't know, like, what's the definition of insanity? Is expecting the same results Are expecting different it's results baseball. With the same process?
I mean, baseball is a law of averages kind of a sport. This is, it's not unusual for any of this. Like, they're not some aberration to things we've seen historically. It could be a law of averages that they come back from where they were last year. I still don't think that's the case. I think that when you even look at last year, this was a problem that started to rear its head in September. They really struggled to score runs, and they overcame that. I keep thinking and keep wondering, like, there's going to be a stretch where they just turn it on and stay hot offensively. There has to be. There's too many good players in the lineup for that not to happen. But I don't know that they can withstand the long road it's going to take to get there, right? How much longer can they sort of just meddle away here before they run out of time for that streak to come in and be what it is? I saw yesterday, I believe it was ESPN, put out a, you know, 50 players who could get traded sort of article. It was fun. It was a fun read. And there's a million, right? Because you don't really know who the contenders and the sellers and all those things are. But I can tell you, one of the names that was pretty high on the list was Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
And the Royals are going to have some big decisions to make. Again, we talked about this forever when we were out at the Open. They don't have to make them yet. They got to make them in a month. And if you don't think you're contending, why wouldn't you make some of these trades? But I just don't want them to. I can't not imagine punting on this season. And they're not anywhere near doing that. They're 38-41. They're very much in the wild card. But it could happen. It's going to happen one way or the other. Like, they're going to have to make the call. And they can do both. They can trade some players and be aggressive and still try to win and do all those things. But, man, I just can't believe we're having this conversation before this year and the expectations we put on them. And you tell me they made the Cags call. And they found him a spot to play every day. It's just really frustrating. And you know what's frustrating for them? They'll face a tougher pitcher tonight on paper than they did last night going in Rasmussen, who's been pretty dang good. And then Boz in the finale. The Rays can always pitch. The Rays starters are inflated because they're playing in a little bandbox while their stadium is repaired. So probably some of these things we see from their staff. They're the only staff in baseball who has as many quality starts from their rotation as the Royals do. But the offense, and we said this yesterday, the offense is going to have to do something in this series. The offense is going to have to pick them up and carry the pitch. Like, they're just going to have to, and they certainly did not yesterday. Just a really, really piss-poor offensive performance on Tuesday night for the Royals, and they got to bounce right back. No time. They don't have time to sit there and figure, like, you just got to go.
I mean, the timer is on, like, towards the trade deadline. I think if they're 10 games under 500 at the trade deadline, I think they need to sell. Like, 100% they need to sell. Because, but it's so interesting, and I talked to Tim Grubbs about this last night, is that this team, last year the ownership, they want a new stadium, obviously, and they wanted to invest in getting a winner to get people excited about a new stadium. And they did that. They made moves. They extended Bobby Witt. They brought in Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, all these guys, and made a playoff team, basically. And then they kind of doubled down a little bit this summer. They didn't really do that much more, but they made a roster that was better than it was last year, and it's just not working. So you have to think, that's the other piece of this, is that are the Royals going to sell while they're trying to pitch a new stadium to lawmakers and to voters, basically? Like, if I'm voting and the Royals just trade their, if the Royals traded Salvador Perez, which I don't think they will, but if the Royals traded Salvador Perez and I'm voting to give you my tax dollars to build a stadium, like, that's going to sting, and like, people would be pissed. So I that's the other part of this that also is a really interesting watch of what they're going to do in this scenario, because it's never been more win now for the Kansas City Royals, and they're not winning. So do you double down on that and try harder at the deadline, or do you give up and just start thinking about the future of Bobby Witt and Caglione and Michael Garcia and Vinny and those guys?
No, I don't think you have to do either thing. The Royals' future is bright because they have Witt, Pasquantino, Garcia, Caglione, still probably at least one more year after this one of Salvador Perez being effective. They have all of those pieces. They have Cole Reagans, right? They feel like they might have Noah Cameron. Waka, they got on a multi-year deal, I believe. So they have him again. Like, they've got, they can sell and still not like slam the door shut. The question is going to become, do they feel like they can contend through the end of the year? If they put Seth Lugo on the block, he'd be one of the most attractive players out there. And so how much control does he, how much time does he have left on his contract? Let's just take a look.
Him to a three-year deal.
I believe it's just this year, right? And then he's got an option. So he signed a three-year deal initially. Yeah, he's got a player option after this year. So next year's on a player option. He will almost certainly exercise that option. Even at 36 years old, he's worth far more than the $15 million a year he's set to make in that year. So he's probably exercising that option. Unless you can have a conversation with him right now that was like, hey, do you want to stay here like longer term? It's not going to make a lot of sense. Seth Lugo helps them this year try to win a World Series. If at any point they don't think they're going to do that, then you're going to trade Seth Lugo at minimum. But you can only trade Seth Lugo. And by the way, you can trade Seth Lugo and still compete for a World Series. Like, you can still, even if you made that decision in July, it's not like that's the end of the season and they're not allowed to win any more games. I think they would make that decision if they're just being practical and they're saying it's a long shot. We're not out of the woods yet. We're not selling, but we'd be dumb not to entertain offers at this point, right? And they would be hefty. I'm not sure how many better players are going to be better than that guy as a starter down the stretch when everybody needs pitching. The Royals could look at that and probably get, you know, this isn't just some trade where you're hoping for. No, if you make that trade, you got to make it because you know you're getting players that help you big time in the future. He's that kind of asset. So, they can sell and not be punting on the season, I think. I think there is a scenario where that exists. They could also buy and not be punting on next season with something really inexpensive. Or they could go buy on something that helps them this year and next year, right? You know, they can both buy and sell at the deadline. We're talking Royals. We'll talk a little NBA draft. We can talk Chiefs as well. So the ESPN article is out. And just a couple of names mentioned. An interesting team on here is the Red Sox. They've got a bunch of their guys. I think everybody's anticipating they continue to sell. The Diamondbacks are another one of those interesting teams. They've had a ton of injuries. And then Seth Lugo, TJ, becomes the... So they rank them. They're calling this their ranking. Not most likely, I don't think. But a ranking of these players. For instance, Alex Bregman and Jaron Duran of the Red Sox are 1 and 2. Sandy Alcantara is 3. I'm going to tell you right now, I would take Seth Lugo over Sandy Alcantara 10 times out of 10. If I was a team looking for a player to help me this year. Freddy Peralta's in there. He's been really good for a long time of the Brewers. So Seth Lugo is their 6th ranked player and their 3rd ranked starting pitcher on this list. I think he's probably higher than that in reality, but that tells you what kind of trade candidate he could be. And I'm not advocating that the Royals trade Seth Lugo. Let me just say that 500 times. Not advocating for that yet. It's too early to make that call. But if they were to listen to him, that kind of tells you where he might sit in the rankings of or in how players are evaluated as trade candidates.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. You think that they could get a big league ready bat for Seth Lugo? Or if they did that, would they be getting prospects to think for the future?
Boy, that's a good question. Man, that's
because you can
question.
You can get a young prospect that's in the big leagues. You know, you think about what they did with Cole Reagans, the pitcher, obviously. But you know, they traded Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans, who got called up 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
is that what you could get from him, or was it going to be a guy that's in Double A?
Oh no, you'd ask for more than you'd ask for more than Reagans because Lugo's more valuable than Chapman was year.
Just an example,
I think. Now, as somebody who's a Rangers fan who follows the Rangers, like they obviously didn't think that Cole Reagans was that kind of pitcher either.
I talked to
Lugo's the only guy on this list of top 50, by the way. I think that they also have plenty of relief pitchers that could be of interest for people. Lugo's only in there for the reasons I think we're talking about. Like, even on something like this, like, I don't think anybody thinks of the Royals as sellers. I don't yet. I think they could be, but they're going to be, even if they trade a player or two, they're not the same as a typical seller, because it's hard to imagine they're going to fall so far out of this that with a half a season still to play, you can't envision them making a run into the postseason. You know what I mean? Like, they would have to be so far back of the wild card at that point, it seems impossible that they even could be. So the Lugo's name is on there because in my thinking is the same probably as this list. He's just such a valuable piece that they'd be crazy not to listen unless they're a lock for the postseason. Again, I'm not advocating for them to trade Seth Lugo. I'm not. But I'm advocating for them to listen if somebody wanted to blow him away. Yeah, if you told me you could get Cole Reagans for him, I would take that right now, knowing what Cole Reagans you know, is, and assuming he comes back from his injury okay. But I think you'd have to start with a young starting pitcher, a prospect that you feel like could fit into your rotation. And the other part of it would be, yeah, somebody you would be able to foresee being, you know, being an everyday outfielder probably. Those would be the thing. You could, it doesn't have to be an outfielder either, because Michael Garcia and Jonathan India have shown you they can play anywhere. So it could be anybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything specifically. But yeah, I think getting two usable pieces, hopefully as soon as next year, for a guy like Lugo would be the goal. But you just have to realize, like, unless Lugo just loves it so much, there's almost no way he doesn't exercise his player option next year. So
that's another part of it as well, is that even if he wants to stay, that he could exercise the player option and try to work another deal and he'd get paid more. So you think
with
about
the Royals, but you have to, like, those conversations have to be happening right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. If he says, like, I want to exercise player option, but I'd like to stay, I don't know if the Royals afford that with the thinking of towards the future. Can you afford to pay a guy that's going to be 37 years old that amount of money? So
No, you would have to try to do, and they've done a good job of this. Look, they've evaluated players well. They went and they acquired Lorenzen, who's been a useful piece for them. They also acquired Waka, who's been, you know, very useful for them. They are evaluating these types of players well. I think it's far more likely that Lugo walks and they try to recreate him next year. And you hope that you can build a rotation on your young guys, on Bubich, right? On Reagans, if he's healthy. Now they hope on Noah Cameron. Alec Marsh has, you know, proven he could be a number five starter in this league. I think there are some of those guys out there, but the Royals aren't some farm system either that's just going to keep churning out players. They've got some guys. They're okay, but most of the good part of their system is up right now. And that's fine. Like, they've got a lot of good. The window is long. The window's as long as Bobby Witt Jr.'s, you know, leading the charge. But they've got a good core, even if they were to trade away with Seth Lugo. So he's going to be a name that's on there. And it's going to be because he's very, very desired on the market. And because probably outside of some wild hot streak, the Royals are going to be in purgatory as the trade deadline approaches. July 31st is the date. So they'll have a month's worth of games until July 31st. I mean, at this point, it's pretty unlikely, right, that they're not in about the same position they're in right now, which is within 4 or 5 games.
It's going to have to get worse, I think. Like, it's not that
a lot worse.
I don't know if it has to get that much more worse. Like, they're below 500 right now. Like, if they get 10 games below, like, if there's another cold stretch where they lose 6 games in a row and it pushes them down that far, then you do it. But if you're teetering at the 500 line, there's still a chance. But if you're below 500, you're not going to get in the playoffs.
But you can't look at it. Why? You can't look at it as what your record below 500 is. You've got to look at it as how close am I to a wild card spot?
Yeah, but I mean,
you could be 5 games below 500, but 3 games out of a wild card.
I don't know. That's just an indicator in my head, I guess. But I don't know. I don't think a below 500 team's not going to get in the playoff. Like, you have to have a legit chance to finish above 500, is what I'm saying. If you don't finish above 500, it's a wash, and you're not going to get. So what are they now? They're chasing five teams to get into the playoffs now?
They're three games under. That's what I mean. Like, at some point, this stuff's going to begin to work itself out. And, like, I don't know how quickly that happens. But the other thing that none of us, like, when we have these conversations, we're not accounting for a hot streak at any point in the second half. That's why you can't be outright sellers. As tight as this is a team that went on a 20-2 stretch or whatever it was that they're basically still riding this year. But if they, like, if any, and this is what the Rays have done right now. The Rays are on one of these heaters and they're creating some separation in the wild card. But a handful of these teams probably will be significantly better in the second half than they were the first half, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're going to see the 500 thing come into play. But you're going to have to, if you're the Royals, like, be totally willing to punt on the possibility that one of those teams that does that is you. And I don't know that that's the right way to approach it. Like, I think it's far more responsible and a better decision to just bake that in, not be outright sellers, and just maybe sell a little, but understand, like, we could still make a run at this thing.
I think
and play it through.
I think that they do something, but I agree. I don't think that they definitely can't buy, but I think that they can sell. I think that they can sell a little. I think that they can trade Seth Lugo and get somebody younger with more control and preferably a bat. I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking it, but I think that Chris Bubich is an interesting thought. That the fact of what he's done this year, of somebody that wants to make a push, of him being basically one of the best ERA pitchers in baseball, and you don't think it's sustainable, I'd entertain all those offers as well. So I think that
for Bubich,
I would. I think that what he's done so far, you can capitalize on it. If you don't think that you're good enough to make a playoff push, what's it matter if you have a guy that's got the best ERA in baseball if you're not going to make the playoffs?
I think that is a little crazy because Bubich for a team like the Royals is gold because he's under control. He doesn't hit free agency until 2027. So you got two more years of arbitration for him. You'd have one full year of control.
It depends how bad they get. If they're in the hunt, they can't get rid of him. But if they go on a cold stretch,
At that point, you're trading away a really affordable starting pitcher for next year.
It's true, but you could get a lot for it. That's what everybody else wants too. They have one of the worst farm systems. Since they've called up Cags, they have one of the worst farm systems in baseball again. So,
That, no question about that. But do they need to reload that? When was the last time the Royals had a good farm system? Can I ask you that?
When Bobby and MJ were down there.
You think that was a good farm system?
Well, ranking-wise, it was a good
farm system. No, it was a bad farm system with a good player, which is basically what it was with Cags, right? They haven't. I don't remember. It's been a long time. You got to go back till before the first World Series run when all those players were coming up, Hosmer and Moustakas. They haven't had a good farm system in the last 12 years. They've had good players in the farm system. They haven't had a good farm system. That could change. I mean, really all that, you know, those farm system rankings, they're impactful, sure, but it really is like, can you get a handful of players that graduate and help you right away? I think the Royals have had far more success in this recent run through being really good in free agency and making some good trades. It hasn't been the farm system necessarily. Noah Cameron, okay, we'll see what kind of player he is. Bobby Witt Jr. was can't miss. Like, that's not a, and Caglione didn't even spend any time in the farm system. So I'm not sure that that's a, I guess I just don't trust that very much. I'd rather see them stay competitive and make some effective free moves in free agency and do some things like that and utilize the farm system to try to develop players and pull up guys that can just help you in a pinch. Lynch has ended up okay, right? Like some of these guys have been okay, but I ain't counting on this ain't the time in this franchise to be talking about the farm system. We waited a long time for them to be relevant. They're relevant. You got to stay relevant.
Yeah.
You can trade Lugo and stay relevant. I don't think they'll be in the business of entertaining Bubich, but you're right. His contract is not as favorable as it would seem because he seems new to it, but he's going to be 28 years old. He's been around for a long time. Just not as a starter. So maybe, I doubt it. I think next year would be the year you do that, but maybe, because the reality is, again, you're going to lose Lugo, right? Lugo's going to be gone one way or the other, most likely. So you're going to have Bubich if you want to be competitive next year, I would think. It's all food for thought. When we come back, we'll turn the page a little bit, talk a little football. We've got Shreyas Lotta coming up in hour number two. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.